This is the Meridian Podcast.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
So, earlier this month, Donald Trump, perhaps unsurprisingly, announced he's running again for President of the United States in 2024.
But with Republican Governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, emerging as a challenger, will Trump win the nomination? And then, if he does, who will stand against him? Will it be 80-year-old Joe Biden, or will the Democrats field a new candidate?
Today, we chat to Joseph McFadden and Shikhar Talwar, who both work at the University of Manchester student paper, The Mancunian. We're going to ask whether Donald Trump can really win the Republican nomination for president. You're listening to the Meridian Podcast.
So welcome back to the Meridian Podcast. Today we are joined by Joe McFadden and Shikhar Talwar from the University of Manchester student newspaper, The Mancunian. Thank you both so much for being here. So before we get started, we normally like to do some introductions just to help the listeners kind of get to know you a bit. So Joe, we'll start with you. Do you want to, if you wouldn't mind, just telling us a bit about yourself and the work you do at The Mancunian?
Yes, I'm Joe McFadden. So I'm the managing editor of the Mancunian. So my kind of role, I help to oversee a team of section editors and writers and organize the paper, kind of edit half the content. I've got a co-managing editor, the other half. So it's kind of my job to help oversee everyone, just manage the paper really.
Amazing. And Shikhar, if you wouldn't mind telling us a bit about yourself.
Sure. So hi, I'm Shikhar. My role is Manchester Media Group news producer, so I really look after the news sections of Mancunian, Fuse FM and Fuse TV. So essentially what this entails really is just making sure all three news sections are actually working together and working well.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. It's always really interesting hearing about different projects at different papers and media groups and whatnot, so it's really cool to speak with both of you. Obviously today's topic is Donald Trump. It feels like we've not spoken about him in a while, but he's obviously just announced that he's running for president in 2024. But before we do get into that, there was also quite a drawn out race in the House, and the House has a slim majority for the Republicans. Shikhar, what does that sort of mean for the Democrats going forward now? Because they do have the Senate, it would seem. Obviously, there's a runoff race in Georgia coming up, but at least it's going to be a 50-50 split in the Senate. But the House has gone red. So, yeah, what does that really mean for sort of President Biden?
I don't think it really means that much, if I'm being totally honest, because with what was happening to the lead up of the midterm elections, everyone predicted a red wave. And it was definitely sure that one of the two houses would go to the Republicans, and now that only one's gone, it's sort of a win for Biden in a way, but it's not the win that many people would like to see who are supporting Democrats as well. So I think Biden does get put on a weaker foot with not having the House as blue anymore. But the fact that the Senate still is blue, it still has that confidence. It's just, I think, I forgot who it was, but one of the leaders who'd sort of tried to also be a part of become the president earlier in 2020 from the Democrats had said that the Democrats have delivered a lot on what they promised, but there's a lot more left to do. So I feel like going into 2024, this means a lot more for Biden on whether he decides to still be in 2024. He's going to see a lot of people from within the Democrats actually trying to push him out and take the players for themselves, which, I mean, given how there were also some rumors about Democrats not wanting Biden to stand with them or to go around and get campaign with them. And so that sort of says that Biden on his own is on a weaker foot. But it's not as weak as many predicted, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a red wave, is it? That was like the catch-all phrase that was used. Joe, so in terms of his actual like legislative agenda, what does losing the House but still having the Senate mean in terms of passing the key legislation that Biden still wants to pass?
I mean, it basically takes pretty much everything that isn't just the normal day-to-day running of the government off the table. It means abortion is off the table. If he wants to build on his Build Back Better kind of raft of legislation, that's going to be dead in the water now. It's a real, even though it's not a red wave, and even though it's still a very wafer-thin majority for the Republicans, it's certainly the narrowest margin we've seen in quite a few midterms, even back into Obama and Bush, if I'm correct. But even though it's not a resounding majority, but even that extra few, even that extra handful, will just mean abortion's off the table, any constitutional reform is off the table, any packages he wants to pass to fight inflation, that's going to be a big fight in the House. And it also means that Biden's going to have a difficult time if anything unexpectedly happens. Say, not that America's passed one in quite a while, but if he ever wants to declare war on someone, like, because obviously we have the situation in Ukraine, unfortunately. So it just makes this day-to-day running of government 10 times harder for Biden. And I think we're going to see a lot more gridlock, a lot more kind of even more partisan infighting than there already is. So I think, even though it's not this resounding victory, Biden is still going to struggle in the final 2 years of his presidency, and how that might impact re-election, that's another story entirely, because he's the first president in a while, the Democrats anyway, to control both three branches of government. If you ignore the courts. So the fact that he wasn't able to do much even in the 2 years he had, he's going to be able to do even less now.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like it could be a rough few years for Biden and his agenda. But moving from the current president to a former president, Donald Trump announced that he is going to run for president. And for those who've covered him for a while, it was an interesting speech, to say the least, in that it wasn't up to his usual kind of dynamic form of public speaking. And really, I think it was Maggie Haberman who said his heart really didn't seem to be in it. Shekhar, what do you think it is that, like, why do you think he's chosen to run again when it seems to many that he really, his heart isn't in the race?
I think for Trump, it was always, he wanted the second term anyway. Like, we saw what happened on Jan 6th. Obviously, he wanted the second term no matter what. So no matter what the results of the midterms, although, again, the red wave, and everyone was expecting that, and it didn't happen. And a lot of it is said to be down to Trump and who Trump supported. Because a lot of people that Trump gave his voice to or gave his platform to, a lot of them could not turn the state red, and it remained blue in many cases. So I think that's probably the reason why he felt so really tired in that announcement, and not the same energetic Trump who would just go around honestly blabbering for a while, and then you'd just be like, cool, and you just have to listen through it. But I think what Trump had going for him earlier, and why he got in 2016, was his way of speaking. His way of speaking was charismatic, even though some of the stuff he said was problematic, and some of the other stuff he said had a lot of problems, and grammatically also didn't make sense. It still was charismatic, and that speech of his where he announced that he's coming back was not the same. So I feel like he definitely wants to do it. His heart will, like, by the time we're in 2024, his heart will probably be back into it. And he will, like, him and DeSantis probably going to be that two-headed battle into 2024. But I feel like at the moment, like, the fact that he announced so quickly after such a huge loss was sort of the wrong thing to do. And you could see that visually. So it's, who's to say what happens like by 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of talk. You mentioned Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And there's been a lot of talk with kind of his name floated around. You know, he won resounding re-election in the Florida governorship. And if you look, as you mentioned, a lot of the Trump-backed candidates have lost their races in the midterms. A lot of the election deniers, if you look at Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, Carrie Lake in Arizona, it seems like they're struggling. And perhaps that's a sort of suggestion that maybe Trumpism isn't as popular. So, Joe, what do you think about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis? Is he a genuine threat to Trump getting the Republican nomination?
I think he is the biggest kind of, maybe not threat, but he's definitely the biggest opposition to Trump we've seen since the Republican primaries back in early 2016. I think what DeSantis is, he kind of represents a more acceptable and a more palatable form of MAGAism. He is a right-wing Republican. He is probably about as far-right as Trump, but he's not, well, he may be a madman, but he's not as much of a madman as Trump. He's not, and this will work both against him and in favor of him, because it really depends who the Republican Party decide to rally around. And it kind of fits in with something we're seeing in the UK. If a kind of grassroots membership, they are likely to rally around Trump again. Trump's cult of personality is one of the biggest we've seen in American politics, definitely since Ronald Reagan, probably in the throughout the 20th century. Whereas kind of DeSantis, he's much more accessible to the Republican establishment. He has a lot more friends in high places in the party, and Trump's lost a lot of those since January 6th. Since there's now, you probably need two hands to count, probably more than two hands to count the amount of investigations open into Trump from the Justice Department and State Departments. It's crazy. So yes, DeSantis does represent this threat to Trump, but I don't think it's as big as everyone's saying. What we see with trend in the primaries and these early stages, there's always talk of this candidate versus this candidate. Whereas if you actually look at the actual nominees and the presidents from the past, definitely since throughout the 20th century, really, throughout American politics, it's not always the front runner. Now, not to compare any of them to Trump and DeSantis, but Abraham Lincoln wasn't the front runner. Teddy Roosevelt wasn't. Franklin Roosevelt wasn't, Reagan wasn't, John F. Kennedy wasn't. So I think even George Bush, and I mean, we saw Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama. Everyone was saying it's going to be Clinton, but Obama clinched the nomination. So I think we need to be careful of all this talk, because it could go in Trump's favor with the kind of grassroots MAGA kind of project, but also the establishment might decide to find another candidate, and some that we might have a dark horse enter a race. I don't think at this stage in 2014 anyone was seriously talking about a Trump running with the primaries, let alone a nomination or a presidency. So it is too early to tell, but it's definitely worth keeping an eye out on DeSantis versus Trump, and how the kind of especially the grassroots of a Republican Party, how that plays out, because that's going to be where we see this kind of rivalry play out.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting, isn't it? Like this idea of a split between sort of the elites in the higher ups in the Republican Party and then the sort of grassroots. You mentioned something quite interesting there. You mentioned sort of the legal battles that Trump's got. And as we know, he's plagued by them, isn't he, really? Donald Trump running for president again, how could that sort of complicate all these legal battles, Joe? Because, I mean, for listeners, there's actually too many to really follow, isn't there? We've obviously got the investigation into the Capitol riot is probably the most standout one, but there's plenty of other ones. So, yeah, how does it really complicate those, if it does at all, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, so we've got kind of, we've got the committee investigation into Jan 6th. We've got the kind of Justice Department investigation into Jan 6th. And then we've got kind of all the electoral fraud ones, all the ones into Trump's campaign finances and the actual Trump family and his businesses. So yeah, so there are a whole raft of them across every level of American government, both local, state and federal. And what one thing I was just reading interestingly in the New York Times just before we came on was how Trump's early candidacy, because no one ever announces this early, that is possibly a way to kind of obstruct more these investigations into him. Because if he's an active candidate, then I'm unsure on the exact legal specifications, but it does have a bearing on these investigations. So it's politically an attempt by Trump to kind of get ahead of it, to kind of build up the momentum, and if anything were to happen, kind of that having an active nominee, or at least a primary nominee, primary challenger even, kind of arrested or subpoenaed or indicted or even convicted, that is obviously unseen before in any politics in the kind of 20th century Western world even. So it's partly a political attempt to get ahead of that and to kind of take the kind of media focus off of Trump. It's to take the focus off of his presidency and put it onto, as Shekhar said, his potential second term. It's a smoke and mirrors exercise. Trump is a showman. So there's one element of that, but then also it is the kind of legal specifications that I just mentioned. And again, I'm unsure of them, listeners. If you go to any American media, you can find kind of the exact legal details, but it will make it harder for the Justice Department to investigate Trump, and it will definitely complicate things both politically and legally if anything is to come to trial. So this is unprecedented in American politics, as the entire past 6 years has been. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these kind of races play out with the backdrop of possible criminal charges levied against a former president who did incite an insurrection.
Yeah, it's incredible really to think that the president I think we can say quite fairly played some sort of role in inciting people to riot in the Capitol, which was, I mean, that was absolutely unprecedented, and that he's running again and that's acceptable. It's incredible really, isn't it? Shekhar, the primary system in America is kind of, it's not something that, there's nothing quite like it in the UK. It's quite a drawn out process, the primary sort of system in the United States. Do you mind sort of explaining to listeners how the primaries sort of work? Because as you said, Joe, we're already talking about Ron DeSantis.
Sure. I think that's here in the UK, you don't have what you said, something quite similar to it. The US primaries, from all that I understand, really is that you have every presidential candidate, whoever wants to put their name in the hat, essentially, and has some sort of backing from their party, just puts their name in the hat, and then they just go out campaigning one after the other. Honestly, it seems like one of the most tiring things any presidential campaign could do. I think they probably have to put more work into their primaries than they have to put into the rest of their election, or even their term to an extent. But because it's generally, you have to sort of see the middle path between the rest of your party and who you would term as friends, because eventually you would need friends in your party, and everyone else from outside. How do you show yourself as the best candidate compared to the rest of the candidates who might run on a similar platform? And it's essentially just, I would say, about, we're talking about it at the right point, because it would take about 2 years for them to actually get the votes in from within their party and then start campaigning about their party. And the way it goes in the US is that once they have a certain list of primaries, they start going to each different state and campaign, and then every time they start voting after that. And you have to reach a certain number of votes, and once you don't, like, The best explanation I can really give is that if you reach like, if you don't reach like 30% of the votes, like we did in recently with the whole Truss-Sunak battle, if you don't reach 30% of the votes, you aren't immediately dropped out of the race, but you have the option to choose whether, okay, I may not be able to make it compared to the rest of these people. I should drop out of the race and sort of make friends with the rest. So that I still have someone who's my friend in as the president, and that way I can get in. And a lot of people did that, like Kamala Harris sort of dropped back quite early on in the Democratic primaries and then essentially made friends with Joe Biden and became the vice president. And I think that's, even though it sounds like not the best way to explain it, I think that's probably the best way I can explain it. But yeah.
No, I think that was a great explanation. It was really clear, especially for a lot of listeners here. Like Mike said, we don't have anything like this in the United Kingdom, so it's a very new sort of concept to them. So let's look at a sort of hypothetical situation. So say DeSantis does get the Republican nomination to run for president in 2024, and then Joe Biden does continue to run, does follow up on his decision to run again. What does that look like for Joe Biden? Because we know we've seen from 2020, he can prevail against Trump, but obviously DeSantis is this whole new player. He's perhaps slightly more charismatic than Biden. He's certainly younger than Biden. So the age issue then comes to play. So what would a race between Biden and DeSantis look like, do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I think it would be a kind of fascinating race, although fascinating politically, but possibly in actual reality, very scary, because I think anyone who does get the Republican nomination is going to have to at least appease the kind of MAGA wing. And I mean, the Republican Party, they've been far right for a while. Now I'd say they're post far right. They're off the political spectrum in some respects. So you've got that kind of interesting angle. And I think in terms of Biden, the Democrats are going to have to work very hard, because what they had, the only reason why they won in 2020 was because Trump's handling of the coronavirus. And while there were kind of other issues, kind of the economy, which was partly to do with coronavirus, but also a result of Trump's kind of economic protectionism and his kind of international isolationism. So I think even unless another kind of single issue but dominates the kind of political commentary for months, even years, comes along, it's going to be the Democrats will struggle. What we're seeing is they're currently showing up because they see an existential threat to the political order of the United States of America. You saw that with Trump. We saw this with the kind of election denies in these midterms and abortion. The Democrats, their big message going into these midterms was, vote for us, we'll protect abortion, even though they've had multiple opportunities over the past handful of decades to protect abortion rights, and they haven't. So the Democrats, they can't keep on pushing these existential threat narratives onto the electorate and expect it to cut through. They're getting lucky, but if it's DeSantis, it'll be a very difficult battle for Biden. And to touch on the age point, Biden's approaching his 80th birthday. I'm not sure how young Ron DeSantis is, but he's definitely a much younger than that. So I think America is a gerontocracy, but even Biden's kind of statesmanship and kind of like kind of old grandpa Joe routine, even that's currently wearing thin on the electorate. So I think kind of a younger kind of radical, not quite Trump's delusions, but still kind of very kind of far right, kind of probably more akin to, say, Boris Johnson in some respects, even though we saw all the comparisons with Johnson and Trump, I think DeSantis is possibly more comparable to Johnson because he has kind of this, he's slightly more acceptable than Trump in some respects. So I think that's going to be a very interesting possible election, and whether the Democrats can fight that off on a presidential level, but also in the Senate and in the House, that's another question as well. So I don't think the Democrats will fare well in a possible DeSantis election. And even if they win, it will be even more razor thin than 2020.
Yeah, it would definitely be an interesting matchup. So do you think, as much as the Democrats really dislike Donald Trump and they really would not want him to be president, do you think, Shekhar, in a strange way, they would almost prefer if he were to be the nominee, as they know that he's perhaps the easier candidate to beat?
I think so. I think if it remains Biden as the Democratic presidential candidate, then they would like Trump to be there instead of DeSantis. And a key reason for that, I think, is if you go to a lot of coverage from 2020 and or the lead up to 2020, a lot of what you had, and I know it's not the best, most political way of seeing this, but it hits on the grassroots point as well, is a lot of comedians and a lot of different skit shows and different, like SNL or The Daily Show by Trevor Noah or John Oliver. You always see this idea that Biden is presented as the anti-Trump. And a lot of people build up this idea that Biden is what Trump is not, and not really that much on Biden himself or his policy himself. It just seemed like Biden was the person who can beat Trump. And that's why I think he got elected, because that was Biden's like key idea, that his personality can beat Trump's personality. But at the same time, DeSantis almost seems like the anti-Trump within the Republicans. He seems like this guy who is sort of more calculated. I think one of the best ways to describe DeSantis recently would be the election fraud. It's kind of like the whole thing that happened where there were, on the day of elections or the day after elections, there were 20 people who were arrested by the Florida police in results of election fraud, and DeSantis immediately came out with the police behind him saying that these people were all convicted, or even though they've served their sentences, they were convicted of murders or sexual assault. And within the new law in the United States, you can vote if you are after you've served your sentence, but only for certain crimes. And these 20 people were given a voter ID for these crimes. They'd been open about it, and still they were arrested on or after the day of the elections. And DeSantis used that. DeSantis knew that he can sort of mold this into his key idea that he's not going to let anyone turn the vote. He's not going to let anyone just spin the vote around. And he's done this quite consistently. Even with Trump's announcement, people asked for DeSantis' reaction, and DeSantis was like, I'm not saying anything. And I think he said, chill down, or something along those lines. And he was like, it's not the time for me right now. It's time for me to look at Florida, and I will let you know when it happens. So DeSantis seems like this much more calmer, cool-headed, calculating guy, which Trump was not. And I think that's where Biden sort of will lack. And that's the one thing Biden will have a huge problem with coming to 2024 if he stays as the presidential candidate.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a similar sort of idea that you were saying, Joe, isn't it? The idea that running as sort of a candidate protecting democracy is like an existential level is not a sustainable tactic when you remove Donald Trump from the equation, like you were saying, Shekhar. Donald Trump, of course, though, we know his tactics. We know what he's like. We know he plays up these sort of theories of electoral fraud, and he goes on direct attacks at candidates, and he's not afraid to do that. We've seen that in the primaries, and this is two other Republicans, and we've already seen it with DeSantis. His sort of name at the moment is Ron DeSanctimonious. I think that's what he's been using in rallies, so he's already taking little shots at DeSantis. Joe, what can we sort of expect from Trump going forward? Do you think he's going to go all out on DeSantis? Because I think that it would be quite a Trump thing to do, is to just attack the next in line who's trying to sort of challenge him. But what do you think we can sort of expect from Trump?
I think what we can expect from Trump is the things we will never expect. I think that's the kind of trend with Trump, especially in this kind of post-January 6th, post-presidency phase. He is very unpredictable. Even now, I think kind of... even his close, I mean, a lot of the people that got him elected in the first place, he doesn't have that kind of team anymore. Steve Bannon's gone to jail, or is in, something's gone on with Steve Bannon. Kind of a lot of the kind of family are kind of, they're still around him, but they have distanced themselves. So I think A, we've kind of got this kind of, we'll have a whole new team surrounding Trump of kind of very kind of strict MAGA loyalists, and not necessarily these kind of, I won't exactly describe Steve Bannon as the kind of brains of the operation, but certainly seasoned people in the political kind of atmosphere. So that's going to be interesting. What can we expect from Trump in the run-up to the primaries? I think kind of a lot of focus on the culture war. I think abortion, that's going to be a massive issue coming into 2024, especially seeing how the kind of Supreme Court ruling plays out over the next 2 years. I think inflation, that's going to obviously a big one, and kind of Ukraine as well. I think that's something that Trump will definitely latch on to. In what way, I can't really, it's hard to again predict. But in terms of DeSantis, yeah, I completely agree. He will start taking these pop shots at DeSantis, but I think as more candidates start to announce, as the kind of divisions are drawn and kind of the supporters come out, how Trump attacks them is going to be very interesting, because obviously he was coming in as this outrider. He was coming in as this kind of anti-establishment kind of force, whereas in this sense, he kind of is the establishment, even if the kind of like RNC elites kind of decide to rally around DeSantis or someone slightly more acceptable to the party. Trump is still a former sitting president. He still has a lot of momentum surrounding him, even if it's questionable and if it will probably be exaggerated, as we saw throughout his presidency. So what can we expect? I don't think we should expect anything, just expect kind of another existential threat to democracy, and very much Trump to carry on with his old playbook. But I would expect him to have some more tricks up his sleeve. And I'd say he'll get even more erratic, even more unpredictable as now the squeeze is on. He'll have the threat of DeSantis. He'll have whatever threat from the Democrats, say Biden, and he'll have the threat from the kind of justice system. So Trump, we've seen when he gets into hot water, he lashes out even more at anyone around him. So it's going to be a, even for American politics, it's going to be a nasty election, and it's going to be to see how, what happens with the Republican Party and the nation as a whole afterwards. That's going to be not interesting, but probably quite unpredictable, as everything is these days.
I think expect the unexpected is probably a good way of thinking about what we should, the angle we should sort of take with Trump. Just one more from me. Shikhar and Joe, I think either of you, you both sort of touched on this. Donald Trump has obviously changed the Republican Party quite a lot. The MAGA wing obviously has been dominant. And obviously that's not really going to go away, is it? So how much has Trump changed the party, and how is DeSantis going to sort of, because obviously these voters, he needs them. He needs these MAGA Republicans because they are a fairly large group. So he needs to try and win them over. Is he going to have to go and sort of play to these MAGA Republicans and sort of move himself to the right, would you say, Shikhar, if he wants to win them over? And should we expect that?
I think so, to an extent. He does need to, winning the MAGA voters is going to be his hardest battle within the Republican primaries, for obvious. Because I don't think DeSantis is not really denied the elections. He doesn't have friends with people who have denied the elections. Although a lot of them are now out, he still needs to sort of reel them back towards him. And yeah, I think he would have to move himself a little bit more towards the right, or at least present himself as a right-wing orator, even if his policies and his entire manifesto says something else. He needs to present himself that way and present himself as this guy who can beat Trump and yet would not let go of what Trump stood for. It's sort of, it's getting towards populism in a way. like he will have to be sort of the populist candidate. He'll have to be the one who says, I'm here for everyone, no matter what part of the spectrum, political spectrum you're in, whether you're towards democracy or towards dictatorship. In a way, you up and down how center you are to how right wing you are. He needs to sort of capture that entire audience, and he has a very specific audience currently. But I think he does still have the potential of doing exactly that. Again, with what he has done in Florida, he won with about 60% of the vote, which is a huge margin for anyone to win. Even though Florida is not exactly a swing state, it's still a huge, huge margin. And that sort of shows that DeSantis has an idea of how really to be a politician and how really to sort of play the game of politics, really. And so he would have to move himself to the right, but I don't think that would be so much of a problem for him.
Yeah, there seems to be a very fine line he needs to walk to keep all wings of the Republican Party sort of in unity if he wants to gain the nomination. Now, we've got one last quick question just before we let you both go. Obviously, expect the unexpected is very much the theme of this next election. But if you could give us your best predictions right now, who do you think the nominees are going to be for each party for the 2024 presidential race? And Joe, we'll start with you.
I think the Democrats will stick with Biden. I think even though there are questions surrounding a second presidency and a second term, I don't think the party, the country, or the presidency is in any position to kind of deviate from Biden. And I think even though he has a raft of issues himself, politically and personally, I can't see the Democrats detaching themselves from him. They very much pitched him as this kind of establishment. And if we're seeing a resurgence of Donald Trump, then it will be a Biden incumbency. We'll see. In terms of the Republicans, I think we're going for DeSantis or anyone who isn't Trump. What I think we're going to see with Trump is he'll come close in the primaries, but he'll eventually run as a third candidate. I think what you need to remember about MAGA is, even though it is political, it is very much a cult of personality around Trump. I think as much as someone like DeSantis can try to kind of court this vote and might make some inroads in it, I think MAGA itself is kind of a force unknown. And I think Trump, because it's not political ambitions or kind of a sense of public service fueling his pitch, his bid for the presidency, it's ego and delusions of grandeur. So I think we might see a third party candidacy for Trump. And the last time we saw that happen seriously was in 1992 with Ross Perot, and that kind of handed the election to the Democrats and Clinton. So I'm going to say Biden, DeSantis, or whoever else the party decides to hitch themselves to, and a third party Trump candidacy that's going to be a very unknown force in American politics.
Yeah, that would definitely be an interesting matchup. What are your thoughts, Shikhar?
Sorry, I think the same really about Biden. It's going to be Biden v. DeSantis, really. I think, although I would like someone different from Democrats, personally speaking, I think it's going to be very hard for that to happen, because if you go down the chain, you have, after Biden, you have Kamala Harris as seen as the next top candidate, but Kamala Harris hasn't really done anything. She's been sort of out of the spotlight, really, and so you don't see her that much. So I don't think anyone will that easily rally behind her. And the next one you have behind her is Bernie Sanders. And although he's like independent Democrat, sort of moves around that line, he still brings up the same problems that Biden does, especially with age. Like, he's older than Biden. So he obviously, if people have doubts about Biden's age, people will have the same doubts about Sanders' age. And going down, if you want to go all the way down to the grassroots levels, you have people like AOC and the Squad. And I don't see them sort of putting their name in the hat for the primaries just yet. I feel like they're still trying to find their political ground within the Democrats and who to favor, who not to favor. So it's still going to be take time for them to get that way up. So I feel like Biden will be the one to stay, and it'll be very hard to get him out of there, because I don't think he wants to really leave, and I don't think anyone is there enough to get him to push him out of there. While with DeSantis, same thing. I feel like DeSantis is one of the smarter politicians in the Republican side, and he has a lot of people who are going to believe in him and believe in the project he's going to present by 2024. And I feel like Trump doesn't really have the same. Trump doesn't have the same amount of people who will believe in his project anymore. And that sort of line that DeSantis is running on, I think, will give him the vote. Because, again, if you go down the list of Republican governors or anyone, you don't see that many people who can put their name up. You have maybe along the lines of Ted Cruz, who has a lot of backing with himself and has a lot of grassroots vote, especially from Texas. But he's also seen as a very similar to Trump kind of candidate. And if Republicans want something to move away from Trump, which seems like the case with the midterms especially, I feel like DeSantis will be the one to get the presidential nomination. So it will be Biden and DeSantis that go ahead in 2024.
So we're looking at a Biden-DeSantis matchup with a possible Trump running as a third party candidate. I definitely think interesting and unprecedented few years in American politics. But thank you so much, Joe and Shakar, for coming on and talking to us today and giving us some insights on what the future might look like for the US. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Meridian Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed creating it. If you liked what you heard, why not subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts so our latest episode lands in your feed? You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok too, at the Meridian Podcast. And if you've got an idea for an episode or would like to appear, send us an email at meridianpodcast@gmail.com. This episode was presented and edited by Michael Gorhan and Amelia Hardy. The theme music is Impending Uncertainty by Gavin Luke and Solar Flare, licensed by Creative Commons. Until next time, thanks for listening.